This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
It just seems like we get these stories every once in a while. Just, oh, this is record-breaking money for a non-quarterback. Well, here's another one. Lions edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson is signing a four-year $180 million extension with the Lions. It includes $141 million guaranteed.
Wow.
$141 million guaranteed. His $45 million average salary trails only the Green Bay Packers' Micah Parsons at 46.5 among non-quarterbacks in the NFL.
I really like Micah.
The guaranteed is the highest non-quarterback, the highest among non-QBs, according to roster management system.
Hope he doesn't get injured.
I mean, he's played 93% of the snaps this season, but didn't he get hurt last year? Wasn't last year when he got hurt? So, yeah, it's a little bit of a gamble.
I mean, all that guaranteed money.
It's a lot of cheese, Mike.
I want to be his friend.
Well, you know, he only played in five games last year because he got hurt. He got that season-ending injury. But he's come back from it. Six sacks on the season for him. And he's looking like he's back into that peak condition. So, yeah, he just got paid. Big-time money. Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier and Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups will not be paid while on leave of absence from their teams because of federal charges related to gambling, sources told ESPN's Shams. Rozier's salary, which is about $26.6 million this season, paid in installments, will be held in escrow, per sources. If Rozier is cleared and allowed to return to the NBA, which placed him on leave hours after his October 23rd arrest, he would receive the held payments in full, per sources. Billups' salary is $7 million this season, and that won't be held in escrow. He'll just lose it until the outcome of the FBI case is decided. Has that slowed down a bit? I mean, that was hot and heavy there for a second. The Internal Revenue Service, the case against Rozier in November 23rd showing an unpaid balance of assessment of over $8 million for the 2021 tax year. But Rozier's attorney, Jim Trusty, said in an email to the Associated Press that the actual amount owed to the IRS is, at that time, was a sliver of that total. So the IRS filed that against Rozier, and they're saying, no, you didn't give him what he was paid, what he was owed, but I don't know, man. This story is certainly a wild one, and we're kind of still waiting to see what's going to come of it. You know, I don't think there's a lot of doubt about Terry Rozier at this point. With Chauncey, the question is just how involved he was with everything. How involved was he with all of the gambling, the poker activity? How deep into it was he? Was he just responsible for getting players to the game and didn't know that they were going to be cheated when they got there? It still continues to be a wild story. Michael Jordan. We've been hearing from a lot of Michael Jordan lately because they're doing a weekly NBC installment doing MJ Insights to Excellence. which airs Tuesday night between games of a doubleheader on the network. I think they've done two so far. Mike Tirico hosts it and does the show, I think, like at Michael Jordan's crib at his place. And Tirico was going in with the load management. That was kind of the topic of discussion between the two. And Tirico asked Michael Jordan what he felt about it. And he said, well, it shouldn't be needed, first and foremost. You know, I never wanted to miss a game because it was an opportunity to prove. It was something that I felt like the fans are there to watch me play. They're there to watch me play. I want to impress that guy way up on the top who probably worked his butt off to get a ticket or to get money to buy the ticket. He also says, I liked it because of the people that were against me. I know that there's a lot of guys that were yelling at me, and I want to go out and shut them up. I want to prove something. He's calling me all kind of names. I definitely want to shut them up. You have a duty that if they're waiting, if they're wanting to see you, and as an entertainer, I want to show out, right? And he talked about playing through sprained ankles. I don't know. I don't know where I am on the load management thing. Because at first it was like ridiculous. I think it kind of started, you know, just Kawhi Leonard was doing the load management thing, and then a bunch of other players started doing it. Now it's kind of a common thing. It does screw over the fans. And I think if you are actually going to do a load management thing, I think you have to write on your schedule, this is the game we're going to sit our guy. Because you do screw the fans over, man. If you buy tickets to go see the Nuggets and Joker's not playing, that's no disrespect to Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray. And I do think this team will be better if that happens and they have to play a game without Joker. I'm not as terrified. Still terrifying. But if you're purchasing tickets to go see the Denver Nuggets, there's a good chance, whether you're a fan or not, you're purchasing that ticket to go see Nikola Jokic play.
It should be free nacho night.
You should do something to hook fans up.
Yeah, it should be, oh, you showed up and you thought you were going to see Jokic. Well, not only is it do you have the regular giveaway, but we're also going to give everybody, like, discounted
I would
whatever.
Do something.
Because, yeah, I agree. If I was going to a Broncos game and, you know, my favorite Broncos not playing because, oh, you know, we decided to rest him.
It's probably different in football. And I don't think you see that really with load management in football as much. I mean, if a guy's hurt and maybe he could play, but it's like we don't want to risk it. But also, like, most teams, if a guy's out, like Patrick Sertan's going to miss the next handful of games. If you'd already purchased tickets to go to a game and he's not going to be there, and he is legitimately hurt, so it's different. But let's just say it was load management. In the NFL, you're still, for the most part, going to see the team. I think there are a few exceptions. I think Kansas City, probably, if Mahomes is out, you feel slighted. If Lamar Jackson is out for the Ravens, I don't think Bo Nix has arrived at that point yet, especially because they have a quarterback in Stidham that kind of is serviceable and probably could win you some football games. So I think with football, it's different. Basketball is very much about the superstars.
If Travis Kelce's out, we thank God don't have to see Taylor Swift.
No, because she'd be by his bedside at the hospital or whatever, nursing him back to health.
Yeah, they'll probably have a camera there.
I get it. You know, we are in a new age of sports where analytics are a big deal. And can you get your best from a guy if they do take a night off here and there, if you can get better basketball from them in February, if you can get better basketball from them in the playoffs? I don't begrudge teams to look at those kind of things. I admire the Jordan and Kobe Bryant. That was their mindset. There was a lot of players. I think Joker has that mindset. I think there's a lot of players that have that mindset. Like, why would I not play? I'm being paid to play. There are 82 games. I'm healthy. Why would I not play? So I admire that thinking. But I also know that it for the Nuggets specifically, there have been times where it seems like Joker or maybe some of the other guys just kind of ran out of gas. Not so much last year. Last year, they were just hurt. They were playing on sheer will. They just got beat by a better team in the Thunder. The year before that, though, against the Timberwolves, it definitely looked like they ran out of gas. I don't know if sitting a game or two or three or four really helps that, but somebody somewhere is telling them that it does, and it might keep you from having guys get hurt long term.
Yeah, but if you're one of those bubble teams, you can't afford, like, if the Nuggets are possibly going to make it in the playoffs, but they have to win the next 10 games, they're not sitting Jokic. They're playing him as hard as they can every game. So maybe instead of resting Jokic every game, the attitude should be, okay, let's play him for 10 minutes total.
Yeah, I would rather that, where it's like, again, the solution to that is go blow teams out once in a while. And then you don't have to play him in the fourth quarter, which we were begging for the Nuggets last year. But every time Joker would come out, teams would come back in, or teams would come back on him. I used to be like, load management, give me a break here. But if you have guys in your front office, if you have analytics guys, if you have injury guys, doctors that are like, yeah, studies have shown that if a player were to get 5+ rest nights a year, then their chances of getting hurt or running out of gas kind of goes down. Then I think you'd be a fool to ignore that.
Yeah, if that's the case, then...
Well, that's why they do it. I mean, why else would you do it? You're hoping to avoid injury. You're hoping to get some of the wear and tear off. If you have a guy that's... Because what do they always say? What do pro athletes always say? You're never 100%. Once the season starts, you're never 100%. Everything starts hurting. Whether if you're playing basketball, it's ankles and all that stuff. If you can have... If you can play a game Sunday, and then you're supposed to have another game Wednesday, and then you don't play again until Friday, if you're given a Wednesday off, assuming your practice is light, it's almost a week. I mean, it's 5 days of rest in between. So while I admire Jordan, I would not disagree with that belief that you want to play every game. But if the Nuggets, I know the Nuggets have flat out told Joker, like, he's not playing, and they've done that a couple of times, not very much. Joker's kind of not happy about it. Because he's like, if I'm healthy, I'm going to play. I'm going to play.
If it's a health issue, I totally understand. And if I had a ticket and a study came out that said, yeah, you have to rest your superstars, I'm going to go, okay, I understand. But where's my free nachos?
It is a buyer beware kind of thing, right? You can buy tickets, and you should know, especially if you're going to an NBA game, you should know there's a chance that your star player might. Maybe it's a small chance, but you buy tickets and then you find out before the game, oh, Joker's not going to go tonight. He's dealing with something. But really, it was just load management. Eh, it is a little bit of a buyer beware thing. 12:18 the time. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, set to join us next. The Cowboys got the boot back. They had no issue getting the boot back. What's next for Wyoming? We'll talk to Cody coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Ryan Gary, Tanner Schwintz. Good morning, NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Well, that's what Rams fans are looking forward to. You hear Ali Farokmanesh there. They've turned the page. They're ready for basketball season. The Cowboys, on the other hand, whether they're ready for it or not, they're saying, hey, we're not done with this football season just yet. 4-4, 2-2 in the Mountain West, and they take back the boot. They do it pretty easily, too, 28-0. Cody said it on the show last week. He said the Cowboys are not losing this game. And Cody, you had to be feeling pretty good about this, I don't know, at kickoff, because Wyoming controlled the game pretty much throughout.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those, Brady, where you kind of thought, if the Cowboys can get on them early, they might fold. And I don't know if necessarily CSU folded. I just think I think it's safe to say, man, the Cowboys just they always take this rivalry more seriously in so many ways. And it sure appears that way in a lot of cases. And I know CSU just went through a lot this week or last week, you know, losing their head coach and everything. But the Cowboys clearly wanted that. And they came off a really bad loss at Air Force, one that, you know, at the end of the year we could look back and say, damn it, if it wasn't for that game at Air Force.
Mm.
And, you know, they couldn't ask for, in my opinion, a better opponent to be playing the following week. And Cowboys were just ready, man. They were ready. And to steal a little quote from the SEC, it just means more up here, I think, than it does down there.
Cody, what do you think, man? I thought it was interesting timing. Like, I don't disagree with the Rams moving on from Jay Norvell. I think it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was almost like, because I would say Jay Norvell gave you a better shot to win that game than Tyson Summers. That's not a knock on Tyson Summers. It's just we're changing everything we're doing in 1 week, basically, to get ready for this game. I kind of looked at it as, does the boot not mean that much to the Rams this year if they're making that move just 1 week ahead of one of, if not their biggest game of the year every year?
Yeah, 100%. I think you're dead on. And, you know, think about how many kids on that roster came to school to play for Jay Norvell. And you saw it on Twitter all week, all the love letters these guys were writing to Jay for bringing him to Fort Collins. And rightfully so. He's an unbelievably cool, great human being. And that's a shock to the system, right? I mean, I guess in my life, I've never been on a team where you lose your coach, period, let alone midseason. But I can't imagine it's easy, and you're just, especially a week ahead of what's supposed to be your biggest game of the year. I think it was a reaction from the brass that, hey, man, we just put more butts in the seats in Canvas Stadium than ever before and laid an egg like that against Hawaii in front of everybody. It's time. And I don't know that it was all that well thought out, to be honest with you. And I'm with you. It was a foregone conclusion, no question. But why not just ride it out? Is it going to help the coaching search to keep Jay Norvell there all year? I'm with you. I don't get it. I think CSU would have had a hell of a lot better chance if he was at the helm still.
Yeah, well, it was just crazy to me. And I get it, pressures and all that stuff, but I just don't know that things change. If let's say CSU did end up winning a game, which I'm not convinced that they would. I think Jay Norvell was certainly drowning, but I just can't imagine that was a move for the better. But for the Cowboys, scoring 28 points, man. I mean, that's huge for this team to be able to do that. And it just seemed like they didn't have to. Caden Anderson didn't have to do much, but he was efficient. And he had two touchdowns, no picks, which was big for him. And they were able to run the ball. I mean, a lot of dudes were sharing the load there, and they put up over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, you know, I think getting off to a quick start was key. Like we kind of talked about, just getting off to that start, kind of letting CSU know that, you know, it's going to be a long day. And I think they did that with ease. I think Javon Bonite in his debut as Wyoming's play caller, I think he did a fantastic job just getting the ball in playmakers' hands. They really tried getting it to Chris Durr, and they also started Caden with some really easy, quick throws. It's kind of hard to believe, Brady. Three of his first four throws went for zero or minus yards. but they were, you know, they got him in a flow. They got him throwing the ball. They got him going. And he felt it the rest of the day. Yeah, he only threw for, like, what, 154 yards or whatever. But he was 15 of 18 to start this game. And getting Chris Durr involved, the guy who hasn't really been part of the game plan. And I thought that really stood out to me was, you know, Jalen Sargent was on the field for a majority of the offensive snaps, and so was Chris Durr. Got those guys involved really early. And we've been talking around here a lot lately, Brady, about the mass substitutions and how it seemed like every play was a hockey line change at Air Force last week. And this time around, the numbers bear out, the PFF numbers bear out that, hey, the top five wide receivers were on the field for the most of the time, and those other guys were on for three plays, four plays, five plays. And that's the way it should be. And you know what? You want to earn more reps and earn more playing time, you got to get it done in practice. And you shouldn't be sharing that many. I mean, Caden Anderson completed balls to 13 different receivers 2 weeks ago. And some might look at that and go, oh, that's a great thing. It's not a great thing. Nothing was in rhythm. And there's too many guys on the field. There's too many guys in and out of the huddle. And I thought that was really rectified this week by Bonite as well. And, you know, you saw some different things. Some run game from backup quarterback Landon Sims, which was huge. He scored the first touchdown of the game from a yard out. They threw an offensive guard, Caden Barnett, all 320 pounds of him, in the offensive backfield as a lead blocker. Tyson Dean, a true freshman cornerback, had him playing wide receiver. I mean, there were some different wrinkles for sure, and it worked. It kind of went stagnant there in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I think that's kind of the way the game was going anyway, that, you know, it wasn't apparent that there wasn't obvious they didn't need to score. So I think it kind of went with the way the game was flowing at the time. But other than that, Jay Sauvell simply said, we need a touchdown per quarter. And, touchdown in the first, two touchdowns in the second, and one in the third to really put this one away.
Right, and sometimes when you hear about these moves, when you're making the play call change or whatever, you know, good, bad, or ugly, I mean, sometimes you don't necessarily feel that change or see an obvious change. But in this case, it certainly felt like Javon Bonight, what he was doing and kind of working obviously hand-in-hand with Jay Sauvell in developing that offensive game plan, you certainly felt it on Saturday, no question.
I think you felt it, but also the unsung hero, like it is most of the time, is the offensive line. They were fantastic in this game. They didn't give up a single pressure. They didn't give up a sack. That CSU team blitzes nonstop. So you really have to be on your game. And something that really stuck out to me was a play that only went for 7 yards right before the Cowboys scored, right before halftime. It was Landon Sims in the shotgun, and he called an audible at the line, and that was supposed to be a quarterback run. Instead, he called an audible and threw a quick little split screen out to Jalen Sargent, and he identified a safety coming off the right edge all by himself, and that would have been a loss. And instead, CSU finishes the day with 4 tackles for loss, no sacks, and no quarterback pressures, and that offensive line opened some massive holes, including just a beauty on that 37-yard touchdown run by Sam Scott. So, the offensive line hasn't been terrible this year, but there's been like one guy will have an off series. One guy will have one play where he gets blown up and it blows up the entire series. And that was not the case at all. This was 5 for 5, everybody working in unison. And that says a lot because you got, you know, a guy like Braylon Jenkins only making his second start over there at right tackle. And you're moving guys in and out at left guard, and you're moving Rex Johnson over to the left tackle spot. So they really put it all together, and it was led by Jack Walsh and Caden Barnett, two seniors who are not going to leave this program with a loss to Colorado State.
Wow. Well, you bring him up. Let's learn more about this guy, Landon Sims. I'm glad you brought that play up because that was talked about on the broadcast too. But tell me about this dude.
You know, he's another guy who he tore two ACLs in junior college, and he's from down there in Alabama. He went to junior college in Mississippi. Kind of weird how they found him. He was on another recruiting trip somewhere in the area, and Jay Johnson sent him a text and, you know, said, hey, we'd be interested. So they were really looking for a guy who had some experience, and this guy had a little experience, and they brought him in, and he's just more, you know, he got in late in the Northern Iowa game and completed all three of his passes and showed he could run a little bit. And basically, they moved, you know, Evan Sabota was the guy who was taking these shotgun snaps and doing this wildcat stuff. And now they're bringing in Landon Sims, who also poses the threat to throw the ball. And he's just more fleet of foot than Caden Anderson right now. And they saw all week, they tried him out last week and saw that he had great vision and was finding the right holes. And they went with it. And man, it looked good. And it also has the threat of throwing the football, which is, you know, Evan obviously was a quarterback last year, but now he's got a giant cowboy neck roll on. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pretty banged up, and obviously coming off a really bad game-changing throw 2 weeks ago at Colorado Springs. So I think the Landon Sims thing was a really nice wrinkle to add to this offense.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. How big of a win was that for Jay Sauvell? I mean, to not only win it like that, but to win it big, bring the boot back in your last game in the Mountain West against CSU. I mean, I don't know if his seat was very hot, whatever that looks like to you, but it's either way you want to slice it, certainly cooled down quite a bit.
Yeah, to me, I mean, his seat wasn't necessarily hot anyway, but you lose that game, then you're talking.
Yeah.
You can't lose that game to that team in front of a sold-out crowd when they don't have a head coach. I mean, that's why I was confident enough to tell you that last week that Wyoming was going to win that game. You just knew that they weren't going to let that happen. And like I said, you know, you couldn't ask for a better opponent coming off that disaster at Colorado Springs. I mean, if they were playing a New Mexico or a San Jose State next. They're probably not going to get up the way they got up for this one. But now the worry is, instead of letting two games beat you, now the worry is, you know, you got to put that one in the rear view as well. I mean, that is a really emotional game where, you know, the governor of Wyoming's in the locker room, Craig Bowles in the locker room, Marcus Harris, Ryan Yarbrough, two of the greatest players in Wyoming history, Andrew Peasley, Wyatt Whelan, all these guys. I mean, it is so important to come back for alums, to come back for the border war and to win the boot and to be in the locker room. I mean, I don't even know if Colorado's governor knows where Colorado State University is, and Wyoming's governor's partying in the locker room.
That's
when I say it just means more. It's a whole entire state versus the city of Fort Collins, I guess. It's so much more important here, in my opinion.
Well, and Cody, you know, I was talking to you about it last week. Like, hey, has the sizzle gone away? And for you and specifically Wyoming fans, like, no, it hasn't. The reason it went away for me is you know me. I want this game to be like the state of Colorado and the state of Wyoming. I want it to be a Super Bowl. I want it to be absolutely huge. So for me, who didn't go to either school but follows both, roots for both, I want it to be the best game it can possibly be. I did my picks on Friday, you know, based on a lot of our conversation, and I said that line is too small. I think Wyoming's going to easily win this thing. You can't convince me that Tyson Summers, who was just hired as a defensive coordinator in the offseason, is going to come in and change everything. So I guess for me, the sizzle was gone just because of the fact that you got one team in complete disarray, and then the other one's still trying to kind of find out who they are.
Yeah, well, and somebody who's in your situation, I wouldn't blame you. This game needs to start mattering in the grand scheme of things. It's always great for, you know, the Cowboys and their fans to win this game and to, you know, have those bragging rights when they go down to Fort Collins to eat and, you know, all that good stuff for an entire year. That's the good stuff, right? But this game has not mattered as far as the conference standings since probably 1996, when the Cowboys went down there and put together a 94-yard drive and beat Colorado State in Hughes Stadium to clinch a berth in the inaugural WAC title game. I mean, and if they would have lost, CSU would have been going to Vegas for that game against BYU. That's the last time that there was so much on the line. There's always a ton on the line, obviously, in this game, no matter what. But it needs to start mattering more. And it would be nice to see it be the last game of the year and be for all the marbles, just like it was in 1996. That was a really, really special game, and a game that any true Wyoming fan is going to tell you they remember every single snap of. So, I could see an outsider, you know, like you, who doesn't really have ties to either, being like, yeah, what's the luster of this thing going to be? I mean, both teams have losing records, all that. It always means something, but it needs to start meaning way more as far as postseason championships, those sort of things, which obviously now is in your rearview mirror because CSU is in the Mountain West Conference, or leaving the Mountain West Conference.
And now the Cowboys, you talked about it. If the Cowboys get that win last week, now the rest of the way, there's a lot to play for. We're going to be in November next time they play, going up against San Diego State. And that's looking to be a pretty darn good football team. But here the Cowboys sit, two wins away from getting to that bowl-eligible spot. But they're also not that far out of this thing just yet. I mean, we're getting down to it. But you got the two top teams in Boise State and San Diego State sitting at, they're undefeated at the top of the conference. But for Wyoming, you know, two losses isn't crazy. If you go do something silly against San Diego State, who knows? You got quite a few games left here to figure this thing out.
Yeah, you look at it now on paper and you're like, Wyoming has maybe, you could say, one guaranteed win left, and that's when Josh Allen pays a visit to Laramie and gets his jersey retired against a Nevada team that, you know, hasn't given up, but they just don't have the dogs. Other than that, you're talking about a trip to San Diego to play arguably the best defense in America. Then, you know, you get a week off. Then you go play a Fresno State team who you just don't know what the hell to expect out of them. You know, to give up 49 against Colorado State team, that quarterback is stunning after watching what I saw last Saturday. And then to get blanked at home by San Diego State, it's just, you don't know what to expect out of that. And then you go to Hawaii, which is always the brutal trip that, it just hasn't been kind to the Cowboys, and it hasn't been kind to a lot of teams in the conference for a lot of years. That's a really tough trip. And Wyoming traditionally hasn't played well in San Diego. They've pulled off a couple in Fresno. But if they want to start talking, and Coach Sauvel keeps talking about it, this season could still be very special. But, you know, to be very special, they need a little help and they need to win out. And it's way easier said than done, but it would go a long way this week if those mighty New Mexico Lobos could find a way to win in Las Vegas. That would really help. But the Cowboys just flat out need to take care of business.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, they'll need some help too. But if you can get this one somehow, the Aztecs, I believe, are a 9.5-point favorite in this one, yeah. Cody. Yeah. But if you get this one, certainly, you know, even no matter what happens outside of your control, the trajectory, it'll certainly feel like you're on a positive path with Jay Sauvell in this Cowboys team.
Yeah, and the other thing, I know people don't really want to talk about it because it's in the heat of the season right now, but I mean, this staff has been incredible when it comes to recruiting. I believe 6-7 true freshmen have already played this year and are making an impact. They're playing impactful minutes for the Cowboys, and not to mention, look at what they did in the transfer portal. They went with the Kenny Dillingham model and went and got guys with a chip on their shoulder who wanted to play for the University of Wyoming. And that's a Braden Johnson out of Oklahoma Baptist. That's an Ethan Stolsatz out of Lindenwood. That's a Justin Taylor out of Wisconsin. That defense, if it wasn't for San Diego State, Wyoming is leading the way defensively with 10 new faces, most of which, you know, in a niche bias, came from Bucknell. And, you know, Adansis Miller comes from Mercer. You know, guys like that, they did a fantastic job in the transfer portal, and they're recruiting. And I think they're taking advantage of the fact that big schools are focused on the transfer portal, and they're not messing with high school kids as much anymore. Wyoming still is. And a lot of guys, Samuel Toad Harris, Kyle Frent, guys like that are playing, and they're starting, and they're playing meaningful minutes already for this team.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I may be turning the page for basketball on the CSU side of things, but for football, 5 o'clock, November 1st, CBS Sports Network. I'm there, Cody. I'm all there, man. Let's go Cowboys. Let's do something with this season.
Yeah, I'm taking my 3-year-old to San Diego, so pray for me.
Nah, yeah, good luck to you, man. She's your kid too, so the two of you. I mean, I can't imagine what you guys are going to get up to.
It's scary. It is truly terrifying. So,
Cody,
thank God my mom's coming to babysit.
Always appreciate you, man, and your insight you can give us with this Cowboys team. Do they win? They pull it off? No tweets, you know, coming on this one, Cody. Last week we needed it, but
you know, I could see it kind of being a muddied up 17-13 kind of deal. I just, you know, Wyoming's just traditionally played so poorly there, and it's homecoming, and Sean Lewis is expecting a sellout and all that good stuff. So, lot going against the Cowboys right here against a team that's won 5 straight. But, you know, I could see the Aztecs probably pulling off something like a 17-13. But on the flip side, I think the Cowboys could pull off a 17-13 just as quick.
I'll see what happens, man. I'm excited for it. Cody, appreciate it, man. We'll check out the latest pregame information, anything throughout the week at 7220sports.com.
Right on, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, excellent work by him as always. Yeah, football-wise, you know, CSU's off this weekend anyway, so I'm gonna get into this. Let's go Wyoming. 9.5-point dogs against the Aztecs. Did the offense wake up? Did Javon Bowknight, you know, give this team the spark that they needed? I guess we'll find out. 12:42 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, Michael. Glad you could be with us, Michael. Big City Roadhouse is the place to go. You guys got to check out Big City Roadhouse. It is so good. And now they've got daily specials that they're putting out there. Mondays, you got the single Roadhouse burger with a choice of sides. Tuesdays, Fat Tuesday potato burrito. On Wednesdays, they got the... It's Wednesday, right, Mike? It is the Roadhouse Fettuccine. Chili flakes, I mean, that looks damn good right there. That's the special. Thursdays, they're doing an all-you-can-eat soup and salad served with garlic bread. Fridays, hand-breaded potato-crusted cod, fries, coleslaw, and green chili. And then they got breakfast burritos available every day now, 10 a.m. to noon. You got to try the breakfast burritos. Bacon or chorizo available daily, 10 a.m. to noon. That's Big City Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Big city flavor, Roadhouse comfort. Coming up in the final hour, we got buy or sell. Sean Keeler's going to join us from the Denver Post. We'll look forward to that conversation. He had a good piece about Riley Moss getting picked on by the officials. Also, he put a story out before the Mercedes Lewis news came out that the Broncos did indeed sign him. He was not crazy about that notion, so we'll see how he's feeling about it now. We'll talk to Sean coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I saw one report on the Houston Texans Denver Broncos note. Nico Collins is trending in the right direction to play against the Broncos coming up after being in concussion protocol. It's looking positive for him to play. Will be certainly a battle for Riley Moss or whoever they end up putting on him. D'Amico Ryan said, we'll see how he progresses this week when asked about Nico's status. But signs are kind of looking positive right now. So, yeah, it's a good player. It's a good player. That'll be a test for a Broncos secondary that's going to have to go at it without their best member of that secondary. So that is a big deal. I know you were just like, oh, who cares? So you're diminishing Patrick Surtain? You're the reigning defensive player of the year? It's just like, no biggie. He's gone, no biggie.
Brady, we have a lot of talent in the defensive backfield. It's going to be more difficult without Patrick Surtain, certainly. But,
certainly.
Yeah, but I think Riley Moss has got it.
Yeah? No doubts at all. Just Riley Moss is basically Patrick Surtain. Just, you know, Patrick Surtain's gone. Enter Riley Moss. No problem. It's like we're not even going to feel it. We're not even going to know what's going on out there.
Well, the only problem would be is if, like, he puts his hand on anyone's shoulder. Could be a Texan. Could be a Bronco. The refs will throw a flag because
are the refs searching for Riley Moss? Sean Keeler put that piece out earlier this week. We'll get to that in the next hour of the show. We got buy or sell. What did we learn? All that. And the Broncos have a new tight end, at least on the practice squad. Mercedes Lewis signed with the Broncos. 41 years old. Signed with the Broncos. He's on the practice squad. Guy just wants to play football. All right. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.